Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, brothers and sisters. This is Peter Herbeck. We're making our way this week through St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, his first letter, beginning with kind of inspired by the daily readings that were given this week. The church is beginning to take us through this letter. We're just, as always, a few verses into it, and it's Wednesday, because there's just so much there that we want to unpack. We may not be able to get to all of what's presented every day in the liturgy, but this can get started, especially the beginning of the letter. Like all of Paul's letters and others, it's foundational. And taking the time to hear him, to read the letter, to receive the things he's highlighting in the letter, what he's celebrating, and what he most wants them to hear, it's important for us to be in a posture of receiving it. Because we're not just reading a historical experience, which is true, we're doing that, but what we get is a really clear and inspiring understanding of how the gospel goes forward, what the normal Christian life looks like, including what we talked about yesterday, a dimension that is most difficult for us, I think. Paul's celebrating what most people don't like to think about or talk about and may never even experience in their lives because we avoid it. The affliction, the rejection, sometimes the persecution that comes from openly living the faith and communicating the gospel to a world that rejects it. And it's a challenge. It's both very inspiring to read the anatomy of the conversion of people and the growing of a brand new community that Paul is talking about. And he identifies the elements we've touched on the first couple of days, faith, hope, love at the foundation of it all. People experiencing conviction and a genuine experience that they're beloved by God, that they're chosen by God. And the security in knowing that comes from having heard the word, Paul said, and experienced the power and the Holy Spirit at work in them that's leading them to full conviction of faith, which is what I talked about yesterday. And Paul said, and then Paul says, you became imitators of us. How did Paul know that? Well, Paul, as was here today, again, suffered a great deal for the gospel. He's referring to his time in Philippi when he was stripped and beaten with rods, thrown in jail. They try to humiliate him, get him to stop preaching the gospel. And then he looks at them and he said, well, you become imitators of us, of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and the community that's being persecuted in other places, and you're not afraid of it. Paul says, that's a sign that you've been captured by Christ and you've gone all in, that you know that you belong to him now, and that you actually believe in your bones that the best news anyone on the planet can receive is knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through faith, hope, and love, and new life in the Spirit, living in his body, the church, and communicating that love to others, no matter what the cost. That is what normal Christian life is meant to look like. We're not just transmitting or receiving words alone. We're entering into the reality of everything Jesus said would happen to those who enter the kingdom. We leave behind the old man. We leave behind our idols. We understand and discern now the world, that is the fallen dimension of this world, and we know what to stay out of. We know what to move into in that world. We know how to be in the world, but not of the world. Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. We understand that now because why? Because we've come to understand the kingdom, the way of life of Christ, of Jesus. And the kingdom is the only thing that's going to last forever. This world's going to pass away. Everything in it's going to pass away. All the big businesses, all the big entertainment, all the big homes, everything's all going to pass away. The only thing that will last, and every other philosophy in the world is going to pass away. The only thing that will last is the kingdom. That's why St. John the Apostle would say, like, this faith that Paul said, this work of faith, the outworking of faith in your life is visible, Paul said. And why? Because he sees now that the world, the fallen dimension of this world, isn't enslaving the minds and hearts of those who came to Christ. They're no longer polytheists, no longer worshiping idols. They're no longer worshiping money even, or whatever, power, false gods, wood idols made by human hands, things like that. They've come out of it. But they're still in the world, but now they're in it in a totally different way. They're living in the world from the kingdom, from living in the Lord, living the way of life of the Lord, living in love with God's people, living a new way of life that's a light to the world. All of that is emerging in this community, and Paul sees it. And so we ought to be inspired and say, hey, wait a minute, this is what we're meant to be. I mean, every parish in the world, I mean, every individual, every family, but every parish, kind of the smallest unit, organized unit in the church, ought to ask the question, are we like this community? Are these things alive in us? All that Paul's describing here in this first chapter, which is part of the normal Christian life, the foundation of the normal Christian life, we can see where the Lord is leading us, and we can actually look in the mirror and talk to each other openly and saying, do we look like this? Do we live like this? Do we sound like this? You know, have we received the things Paul's so excited that these brothers and sisters have received? Are we walking in it? Do we have the courage that they have? Do we understand ourselves to be witnesses? All that stuff is so important. So when we read the Word of God, it's not just to encourage us on the level of saying, wow, that's just great. That's wonderful. Those stories are amazing. But to say, do I live like this? Is this what I'm like? You know, is this what I'm trying to lead my family into? As a husband, as a father, is this what I'm trying to bring my family again into? We're going to pick up again at verse 7 today. So let's think about, as Paul now describes again, different ways that he sees the power of the kingdom at work in their lives. And let's think about our own lives, if we can say about it. Verse 8, he says, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia, he said, they not only have, excuse me, I jumped ahead just by one verse here. So Paul was saying, one of the other things he noticed is that they were imitating Paul and imitating the Lord. The Lord first proclaimed the kingdom. He suffered greatly for it. He won a battle. He triumphed at the right hand of the Father. Paul called, he's suffering much affliction, but he's living in the joy of the Holy Spirit as Jesus lived in the joy of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul takes the next step. And he said, and your belief, your faith, the word is spreading to Macedonia and Achaia. And then he says, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, so friends, they not only were receivers, they were communicators of the word. Not only did they receive it and begin to build community together, but they were going forth with that word. They were missionaries, so to speak. They were on mission, which is another part of the normal Christian life, to do exactly what they saw Paul do and Silas do and Timothy do and the others that they met. The word of the Lord sounded forth. Another great question to ask ourselves in our parishes. Is the word of God sounding forth? And remember now, that's how you live, but also how you speak. Are you proclaiming the good news of God? There's this weird thing that's now like a living assumption in all over the church, in places where people are reducing the mission of the church essentially to being good and to caring for other people, having a heart for other people, especially the poor. Well, that certainly is part of the mission of the church, for sure. But there's a hesitancy to speaking the word. There's a kind of mutism that's on the church, like, nah, it's better not to speak the word. It's better not to talk about that stuff because it alienates people. It's difficult for people. It makes people feel unhappy or whatever. And the church becomes silent. We can't. The word, notice what's going forward. The word is sounding forth in these other cities now through these people who are converted and they're suffering for the new life that they're living. We can't miss this, friends. This is so important. And it's so important now in our culture. I mean, you know, everybody knows. Cultures around the world, the Western world, even in the United States, there's a coming apart that's going on. There's a turning away from foundational principles and even biblical principles that our country and others were once respecting at a high level. It's going away. People are losing their minds. There's wars all over the place. There's tremendous amount of lying and deception being revealed in the cultures, and it's shaking people and filling people with anxiety. Is there anything to hope in? That kind of thing. It's present. And look, there's only one hope for the world. It's Jesus Christ, period. There is no other hope. Because what we're up against is not just certain bad leaders that are spread throughout the world or some bad entertainment or this or that. We're up against the world, the flesh, and the devil, fundamentally. All that trouble that people are so anxious about, we're all anxious about, so to speak, is the result of the outworking and the presence of the kingdom of darkness in a fallen world. And only Jesus has the power, because he's already exercised that power, and he disarmed the principalities and powers. And these brothers and sisters who used to worship idols and persecute Christians, they now know and they understand. Their senseless minds were darkened, and now they're walking with renewed minds. And they know what is true. They know the only place human beings can find hope and joy and eternal happiness. They know it. And so they know people also. They love them so much, they communicate it to people who don't know it. And they know some people are going to react badly and could end up harming them for talking about it. But their love for neighbor is greater than their love for themselves, this disordered love. I got to protect myself. So verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. Paul's just saying you're doing the right thing. Verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We're going to take up those last two verses tomorrow in more detail and then move into chapter 2, where Paul talks about the price he paid for sharing the gospel. Friends, the clarity of the message here, the anatomy of the spread of the gospel, you might say, and how it builds the body of Christ and extends the kingdom in the world. This is the top most important thing that's happening on the planet. It really is. And lots of baptized people don't have a clue about it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.